This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. A year ago, No Studios opened its doors in the old Pabst Brewery complex. The community workspace is the brainchild of director and screenwriter John Ridley, who won an Oscar for his screenplay 12 Years a Slave. The Milwaukee native wanted to create a place in his hometown for creative collaboration and socializing. No Studios is now hosting a two-day summit on social justice, which will look at how art can play a part in tackling issues like homelessness, human trafficking, and mass incarceration. The summit will be held at No Studios on Friday and at Marquette University on Saturday. We reached Ridley at his office in California to find out more, and he explains to Lake Effect's Bonnie North why he thinks art has something to say about activism and social justice.
You know, when we started No Studios, really one of the things that was very important to us was trying to bring communities together. You know, sometimes situations are so polarized, we think, well, there's nothing that brings us together. And then other times, there are things where we just congregate as people and we enjoy ourselves. Art is one of those spaces where there's a communal experience, whether literally, if you're in a theater with other people, and sometimes just a bit at a distance. You know, you think about popular TV shows, and we may watch them or stream them at home, but the conversations about what's happening on those shows, what we think is going to happen, you know, it dominates the public space. So for us at No Studios, we certainly wanted throughout the year for people to find commonality through art. But for me personally, one of the things that I've experienced over the years with the kinds of stories that I've told, some of them very difficult, some of them very challenging, some of them very emotional, but at the same time, because of the impact of the stories, they really rallied people around causes. Sometimes it's just about connectivity and seeing ourselves in other people. But, you know, art has a way of reaching people sometimes the way, you know, facts and figures don't. Now, facts and figures are very important. You know, we live in a day and age where some people dismiss facts and the truth. I'm not saying that those things aren't important, but, you know, whether it's a song, whether it's dance, whether it's movies or television, sometimes they're just stories that hit us in the heart and they move us. And so with the Social Justice Summit, what we wanted to do was really try to bring together art and activism, whether it's presenting art that makes people feel certain ways. And we're doing that with a lot of the programming that we have in the week that's running up to our Social Justice Summit, with film, with dance, spoken word, but also trying to show that art is a way to heal and a way to help keep people get past trauma. So we have individuals like Jaina Kayu, who runs Children of Peace Uganda, who's coming in from Uganda, and she works with children who were former child soldiers and using art and music and dance to transition them from just unspeakable trauma back to a sense of normalcy. We have people like Richard Cabral, an amazing actor who I've worked with, Emmy-nominated actor who's working on The Mayans right now. But he had spent his early years incarcerated for attempted murder around gangs and really looked at his life and said, look, this is either a life that is going to leave me in jail, it's potentially going to kill me, or I'm going to do something even more awful than just try to kill someone. But he's dedicated his life to change through art, through being an actor, not just for himself, but I've seen Richard work tirelessly with young men and women who are at risk and saying to them, look, if I can turn my life around, anybody can do it. You can do it. And that's really amazing. Not the mistakes that people make, but how they dedicate themselves to changing not just their life, but many lives. So through this Social Justice Summit, you know, part of it, we want to honor people who are working tirelessly every day to make life more equitable for all of us, because social justice is not just for me, it's not just for you, it's for everyone. We want to highlight that. We want to highlight activists. And we really want to say to people that, you know, I think there are a lot of people right now, too many people, who are trying to change social justice into a pejorative, or say that it's just for one side of the aisle, or it's just something that those people are interested in, when again, it's really something for all of us. It affects all of us. All of us can unwittingly sometimes be involved in things that are inequitable. It's not just some of the more buzzier topics, but we talk about human trafficking. You know, I don't think most people would ever want to be involved in human trafficking, but it's the kind of thing that it can happen in front of us. It can happen in ways that are so insidious that we don't know.
That particular problem in Milwaukee is big. There's human trafficking happening literally under our noses.
Right.
And, you know, one of the kinds of things you're focusing on is criminal justice reform in this particular summit.
Right.
And that is, of course, a topic that's also so important here because there's so much work to do. Was that one of the reasons to focus on that? There's so many aspects of social justice, so many things to make right. How did you pick and choose? Which things you wanted to focus on?
You make such a good point. Look, you know, and that's part of the issue, too, is that we want to say to people, you know, social justice is not a narrow strata of things. Anytime, any space where there's inequality, there's a need for social justice. And with criminal justice reform, look, I think right now there is recognition that historically adjudication in the criminal justice system has been skewed. Certainly, over the last few decades, when you look at the 80s and the 90s, when criminal justice, it wasn't just about looking at circumstances and saying, look, we've got to apply some justice. But there was overreach and overapplication, particularly with young men of color. And you look right now in the political environment, you see on both sides of the aisle a recognition that the criminal justice system, at least in the application of sentencing, is just, it's out of whack, and things need to be done. We cannot continue to incarcerate people at the rate that we incarcerate people, and it's not a cure-all. And it's certainly then, if you are going to lock up people and you feel like that is what what is necessary, then on the other end, what are we doing to make sure that these individuals are rehabilitated and can live functional lives? Because that is, you know, if the prison is not about rehabilitation, if it's just about being punitive, then we're really not doing a very good job. So with criminal justice reform, there are a lot of pockets that need to be looked at. And certainly when I work with someone like Richard Cabral, who used art to change his life, who uses art to reach people, who uses the new status that he's found in his life, not just for himself to enjoy his life, but to really reach out to people and say, you know, look, the change is possible. Those were some of the things that were very important to us also, was looking at, what artists do I know? What individuals in my network can I say to them, hey, if I'm going to do this social justice summit, can you come? Can you support some of these topics? And with human trafficking, Frida Pinto, an amazing actress who I've worked with, that's a topic that is very, she's very passionate about and very passionate, as you say, saying to people, this is not something that happens in other countries, in other underdeveloped areas. This can happen right in front of us. And if we're not all paying attention to it, then in some ways we are part of the problem.
You know, this reminds me of the very first conversation we had just as No Studios was opening, where we were talking about, you know, what you bring to Milwaukee by opening the studio, by using your own capital here. And I don't mean that monetarily, although I'm sure that's part
sure.
of it, too. But you know, using that network that you've developed to bring it back to your hometown to try to make things better.
Well, that's certainly part of it. I mean, look, in any situation, almost in any circumstance, a little pixie dust, a little razzle dazzle, that always helps. And for me, just on a personal level, with No Studios day in and day out, you know, it's about artists and bringing artists in and having conversations and ways that we can support local talent, in ways that we can bring recognition to Milwaukee and interest and highlight it. It's a great city. It's a wonderful city. Almost all the, you know, good quality values that I have in my life are things that I learned growing up in Milwaukee, certainly things imbued in me by my parents, but by their social network as well. But when we're talking about things that are, you know, difficult conversations, you know, even for people who think that they're open-minded and activated, you know, these conversations, sometimes they can take a toll on individuals. So I definitely want to try to make this, without watering down the subject matter, without saying, oh, these are frivolous and you should all just be, you know, drinking cocktails and things like that, saying, look, these are difficult topics. At the same time, I do want to make sure that this feels global, that this is not merely saying, hey, we're bringing these conversations to Milwaukee because Milwaukee is broke and it has so many problems that We have to bring people from outside to pay attention to them. We just want to say that Milwaukee is a city that has so much potential, that there's so many good things that I remember growing up. There's so many amazing individuals who we've met just in a year of having no studios being active, that we think with our partners like Marquette University, like the Milwaukee Bucks, like American Family Insurance, like those individuals who have chosen to support this summit, that it's important to us to bring people from around the world and really try to make Milwaukee a destination for great ideas, for change, for implementing those change, and for building an infrastructure so that the individuals who are activated 365 days a year, we can do everything we can to help support them and bring other individuals into their network and ensure that they can do the work that they want to do year round.
Is there a group here that you're hoping to reach that's outside of that artist and activist network? Are you hoping to reach politicians? Are you hoping to shine a light in a different way than is normally talked about when we're talking about these kinds of social justice issues?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's one of the things that we're really doing. We're reaching out to all the politicians in southeastern Wisconsin, across the state, and making sure that they're invited. You know, if they show up, if they don't show up, you know, that's their choice. But we want to say to everybody, look, good ideas can come from anywhere. And if you're coming to the Social Justice Summit, you're automatically a partner. And you are invited to be part of these conversations. And I think that's very important. Look, none of us are always going to agree on all things all the time. I don't care where you sit on the aisle. And we shouldn't necessarily agree on all things all the time. We have different perspectives. We have different points of view. We're going to approach things differently. But I think what's important is to know that all people are invited to be part of that discussion. And if we can put ideas forward in ways that are energetic, that are respectful, if we can listen more than we preach, if we can be aware of everyone's perspective and take that into consideration as we move forward to try to implement these ideas, absolutely. So in that regard, we're agnostic. You know, personally, I may see things a particular way. There may be groups that I support more than others. But in terms of the Social Justice Summit, in terms of No Studios, actually, frankly, year-round, we want to be agnostic in that regard. We want to be open. We want to be a safe place for everyone who comes in. But absolutely, we're inviting anyone and everyone. And we hope that they'll show up. They'll be part of the conversation, if not this year, next year, if not next year, the year after. But in that regard, working towards solutions, if you're working towards solutions, if you can be respectful in that work, if you can be open-minded, then absolutely, we've got a seat at the table for you.
So what happens after November 16th? What are the next steps once the summit happens?
Well, we put together an advisory committee that is representing Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and frankly, all of America. And as I said earlier, we really want to build infrastructures so that it's not a once-a-year conversation. You know, there are people who are out there 365 working towards positive change. And more than just throwing money at the problems, more than just writing checkbooks, knowing that there's support, knowing that for people locally who may be looking for solutions, to be able to talk to people globally and find out what they did, what worked, what didn't work. And for people globally who are looking for outposts, who are looking for support, who are looking for ways to take the ideas that they have that have worked, but are looking for other areas to implement them, who are the people locally who have the bandwidth, who already have the local infrastructure, who are looking for other people who can be supportive? How can we bring people together? How can we build these networks? How can we provide an infrastructure all year long? So part of what we want to do, again, is having an advisory council, having people who can year long be able to point people in the right direction, again, whether it's locally, whether it's pointing people globally to local organizations or local organizations who are looking for outside help. You know, what can we do to maintain year-round and make sure that the people who need help are getting help and the people who have the energy and have the attitude that's right for social change, making sure that they're supported in any way that they're looking for support?
I have to ask, as we wrap this up, it's been a year since No Studios opened. Has it exceeded your expectations?
It's exceeded my expectations, but largely based on the communities coming together and really filling that space. One of the things that my sister Lisa, who really is running the studio day to day, and myself, we said to people, you know, we can build the physical space, we can support it with our networks. We can, as you said earlier, you know, we can support it financially as best we can, as long as we can. But it's really only going to work if people are active in this space, active as members, and even as members, being active in terms of what do you want to see? What kinds of events, what kinds of individuals, what kinds of talent do you want to see in No Studios? And we've had over the last year, you know, more than 400 events that are based on art, that are based on community, and the majority of them have been things that have been pitched by members and things that they've wanted to do, and just us looking at it and saying, look, how can we be helpful? And for us, as long as those events are essentially revenue neutral, we've tried to go out of our way to do everything we can support, everything we can do to make sure we can make those events happen. So it's been, in my opinion, it's been a huge success, but it's been a success in terms of the members, the membership, in terms of the way that it's been able to cross-pollinate and bring people together. And I say every time that I'm there and hosting an event or part of an event, and I say this with pride, I ask people to really look around the room and look at the demographics and how mixed they are. Young, old, black, white, Hispanic, individuals who may not be identifiable in ways that they're not part of the prevailing culture, but definitely have something to say and something to contribute and part of the fabric of Milwaukee. So it's just been very gratifying to see the way that people have embraced that space, things that we've done outside of No Studios, the dance fest we had at Sherman Phoenix when we brought Alvin Alien and we had dancers, dance groups from all across southeastern Wisconsin, dance groups that you wouldn't normally see on the same bill. But when they were performing together, they touched everyone equally. Those are the kinds of things that make me most proud. But again, could not do it without the activism, the energy of our members, big and small. You know, we have corporate members now that are part of No Studios. Just so many people who are buying into what we want to do in southeastern Wisconsin.
Well, John Ridley, I want to wish you the best of luck in the summit and all future endeavors, and I look forward to catching up with you again. Let's not make it a whole year before we talk to each other again.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it so much.
Film director and Milwaukee native John Ridley is the founder of No Studios. The organization is celebrating its first year with a two-day summit on how art can inform social justice. The summit will take place at No Studios this Friday and at Marquette University on Saturday. Ridley spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North, and there's a link to more information about the summit at WUWM.com.